Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the words Jesus told a group of religious leaders. And when they asked him, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus told them the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan who found an injured, dying Jewish man on the side of the road. The Good Samaritan who, at much cost to himself, took him to be cared for and gave money for him. The Jew and the Samaritan, culturally different, they had different religions. They were considered enemies to each other. And yet the Good Samaritan loved the Jew as he loved himself. Jesus' call to love others is one of his most famous sayings. And he demonstrates it in his sacrificial death for us on the cross. The news of Jesus' love and his death on the cross spread out across the world, from Jerusalem out across the whole world, through England to Australia, through Africa, through India, through Asia. And now today, here at Life Anglican Church, Quakers Hill, we gather as a diverse church. But I wonder if it's possible that we might be sitting in the same building. We might feel good that we are a diverse church, but we might not actually be united together. It's easy to talk about diversity while not actually doing what God has called us to, what Jesus called us to do, to love one another. We could be a diverse church in name only, one where we look and feel diverse on a Sunday, but we don't actually have deep and warm relationships across age, boundaries, social differences, or cultural lines. Today, we finish our series, Gospel-Shaped Mercy. And we finish with a picture of the end, where God's mercy is taking us to, and the gospel-shaped community that God is making us to be. And the challenge for us as a church community today is that we would have relationships with those who are not like us, to be intentional in building relationships even when it is difficult and hard. Our first point today is that we are diverse. We're going to spend some time in Revelation chapter 7 today, where the Apostle John has been given a vision of heaven. And he sees a picture of unity and diversity. Have a look with me at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This is where the whole Bible has been heading. God in the beginning made people in his image, and then he took those people and he planted them in Israel in the promised land, and they were to be priests to the nations. So they would see the nations come to know and love Jesus, to love God. And then Jesus came. And in John 3:16, it says that because of Jesus, we know God's love for the whole world, for God so loved the world. And so Jesus dies and is raised to life. And he appears before his apostles in Acts chapter 1. And he sends them out to the very ends of the earth. Where the Bible was heading has happened in this vision of John's. People from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every language, they have gathered together and they are praising God. Where people have previously divided along cultural and racial and language lines, those divisions are gone. What used to divide us in heaven no longer divides. All are made in God's image and come together to praise him. And one of the things I love here is that even though we are together, we are still diverse. What has caused conflict and years of war is now a blessing in Jesus. In heaven, there is still diversity, cultural difference. They're not erased, but they're used to praise God. But the wonderful truth of this is that we don't have to wait until heaven to see the beauty of this gospel-shaped community. It's one of my favorite things as a church that as we gather each Sunday, we are diverse and we have the joy of learning from each other and appreciating and celebrating diversity. One of the things that I love about many African and Indian and Asian cultures is how they do community. The family, the people, the community group is more important than the individual, and they do community so well. Whereas for many Westerners, and I'd include myself and many Australians here, we are individualistic. We think more about ourselves than the family, about the community. And we can find it hard to do good, deep, true community. The Western church can learn much about what it means to be a church community from our brothers and sisters from different backgrounds. However, I wonder if some people from different cultures can actually miss out on having a deep personal relationship with God. I've only ever been called pastor or reverend by people from a non-Western background. And I always find it a bit jarring, but I'm a little bit used to it now. And in many cultures, there is a greater appreciation and respect for those in leadership, for pastors. And they'll put them on a pedestal. And one of the challenges can be it elevates the pastor and it makes talking to God and relating to God seem even further, even more distant. I once had a Chinese lady come and ask if I could pray for her family. And I said, of course. And so I prayed with her for her family. And then I said to her, you know you can pray for your family too. And she said, yes, I know, but you're a pastor. God is more likely to listen to your prayers than mine. And I said to her, dear sister, I'm a child of God just like you are. You can actually talk to God just as much as me. He does listen to you. He does love you. We are blessed as a community when we value diversity, when we love one another, and we learn from one another. But how does this happen? How do people who are very different, who come from different cultural backgrounds, how do we get this unity? That's our second point today, unity. Let's have a look at what John sees in his vision, picking up again halfway through verse 9. John saw the great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." This diverse group, this multitude of people, are all standing before the throne of God and the Lamb. Unity is found in acknowledging God's power and God's authority as the one who sits on the throne. Whether we come from a European pagan background or an Islamic background, or whether we're Buddhist, we've been Buddhist in the past, or whether we worship ourselves or celebrities or a house or money, all people here are acknowledging that God is the power, God is the authority, He is the one who sits on the throne. And with God on the throne is Jesus, the Lamb, depicted as a humble, weak animal. Now, I did a bit of a Google search earlier in the week to see if I could find any other nation that had their nation represented as a lamb. I couldn't find one. Most nations will depict themselves with a strong animal, whether it's a lion or a bear or a dragon. And yet here, the weak, sacrificial Jesus is the one that we praise and worship together. And the people's unity is seen in their clothing. They are wearing white robes. Now, for some cultures, white robes are what you wear at a funeral when you are mourning. But here, as verse 14 tells us, these robes have been dipped in the blood of Jesus. These people have been made clean. Regardless of their cultural background, their social background, regardless of their sin, all people together have been made clean and pure and righteous and new in Jesus. And they're holding palm branches. If you remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, lining the streets on either side were people waving palm branches. This happens in Jewish culture. The Jews did the same thing to King David. What you would do is you would celebrate a king's victory by waving palm branches. And all the people from different tribes, nations, and tongues are celebrating Jesus' victory. Jesus' victory over sin, over death, and the devil. Everyone is celebrating not our own personal victories, not our own cultural victories, not my country against yours. Everyone is celebrating Jesus' victory on the cross. What Jesus has won is far greater than anything we have celebrated. His victory is greater than any nation's win. This means that those who are at war now will be celebrating in heaven together. The Ukrainian and the Russian who are at war today, who both know Jesus and love him, will celebrate his victory. The North Korean and the South Korean, the Indian and the Pakistani, the Chinese and the Taiwanese, those on the left side of politics and the right side of politics, all of us together will celebrate not our own personal victories, not my region's victories, but Jesus's victory on the cross over sin, death, and the devil. This great multitude of people standing before the throne of God, praising the Lamb, celebrate his victory. And it seems great, and it will be wonderful, but it's really hard in practice. Our divisions run deep. Our cultural differences run deep. And so does the pull of uniformity, to be with those who are like me. I can say that I'm going to obey Jesus' call to love other people as I love myself. But sometimes it's really hard, and I'll only love those who are like me. Alyssa, my wife, and I spent a couple of months working in a church in Nairobi about 13 years ago. We had a wonderful time. We loved the people. We loved the church. We loved the culture. Loved the food. Kenyans, I'm convinced, are some of the very best people in the world. And I even loved trying to learn how to dance while singing in church. I never got it, but I loved trying. We made some very dear and close friends. And yet, Alyssa and I felt the pull of uniformity, the pull to spend time with those who were like us. When we were there, there was another Australian couple there. And we didn't know them. It turns out they only lived about 10 minutes away from us. And we just found ourselves spending more and more time with them, even though we could spend as much time with them back home as we liked. We only had a short window to spend time with these wonderful Africans that we'd gotten to know, and yet we felt ourselves being pulled away. There is a good and natural pull to be with those who are like us, those who know our struggles, those who know what it is to experience what we have experienced, to spend time with people who understand our culture, who don't ask, oh, why do I have to take my shoes off at the door? Those who know where you can get the right kind of haircut. This is why in Sydney we have so many cultural hubs. Because if I'm trying to make my food, I need to go to a supermarket that actually has the right ingredients. There is a goodness to being pulled to uniformity. But there is a danger of only spending time with those who are like us. Over 50 years ago, the civil rights activist Martin Luther King said that Sunday morning was the most segregated hour in America. And what he meant by that was the rest of the world is diverse. Where we study, where we work, the sports that we appreciate, and yet on Sunday, we choose to be segregated and not diverse. I think the church has moved a long way from that in the last 50 years, at least here in Australia, but we could easily practice segregation accidentally. We sit as a diverse church here in Life Anglican Quakers Hill, but do we only have shallow relationships with those who are not like us? How many deep relationships, real relationships, do we have with people from different backgrounds, whether social or cultural? We are blessed as a community of God's people when we value and learn others' cultures and when we reach out, obeying Jesus' call to love one another. And we do this because this is who God is making us to be because of His great promises to us. Third point today, God's promises. From verse 14, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him night and day in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scalding heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The promise of John's vision is wonderful. Jesus brings healing, He brings life, He brings shelter, He brings protection, and He does this for a diverse, divided people. Jesus is the glue of the multi-ethnic community. Without Him, we cannot do it. And the promise of the Bible is that God is making us to be His community even now while we wait for Jesus' return. But He doesn't promise that it will be easy. It will be difficult. So how do we walk together in this? I want to suggest we do two things. We need to be intentional and we need to be willing to be awkward. Firstly, intentional. We need to be intentional about building relationships across cultural, ethnic, and social backgrounds. And we need to be willing to be uncomfortable. And today in church, on your seats or handed out, you have cards. And they have three simple questions of them. And what I would love you to do after church is to find someone who is different to you and ask them these questions, whether they're different in age or social background or cultural background. It doesn't really matter. The first thing we need to do is to be intentional about getting to know someone else. And ask them that first question. What is their background? I am a fourth generation Australian, mostly from England. My wife is third generation. She has Scottish background. Ask them, what surprises you about Australian culture? There's many things that continue to surprise me as I get older and the younger generations change in culture. And what of other cultures do you think Australia needs? Take some time after church today to ask someone these questions, to be intentional about starting a relationship with someone who is not like you, who is part of this diverse church together. And be aware that building deep relationships takes time and can be uncomfortable. I was looking in my pantry earlier in this week, and I saw the wide variety of spices in there. There was cinnamon, which comes from Sri Lanka. There was cloves, which come from a flower in Indonesia. There were fennel seeds from the Mediterranean. There's paprika, which comes from America. And there is soy sauce, which comes from Asia. Can you imagine eating food only flavored from one region? We would miss out on so much. One of my children really likes to eat plain food. He would be happy to eat plain pasta or plain rice every day of the week. But pasta is Italian and rice is Asian. And so even in the food we eat, it is wonderfully varied. Don't miss out on the joy of what this vision of Revelation 7 looks like. Seeing, being uncomfortable, getting to know different people. Building deep relationships takes time, and it can be uncomfortable. Just like learning new flavors of food. I was hesitant the first time I ate goat, and goat's actually really wonderful. I remember the first time I ate Rogan Josh, it absolutely blew my head off with spice, with heat, not just spices. I like it a lot more now. And a couple of weeks ago, one of the wonderful ladies from our Filipino community brought in a dessert, carioca, and I was hesitant at first, and then I tried it. It's a sticky, glutinous rice ball that's covered in sugar, and then I had to try it 8 more times. To value other cultures' food, we have to be intentional and willing to be uncomfortable. But just like the cultures that the food represents, building deep relationships, well, we need to be intentional. We need to be willing to be uncomfortable because it is worth it. Unfortunately, Australia has a history of not being diverse. In 1901, a law came in called the Immigration Restriction Act. What was known as the White Australia policy. At that time, Australia only wanted people who would look the same. And so the White Australia policy said that it prohibited alien coloured immigration by reasonable and just means. It had the deportation or reduction of the number of aliens in our midst. This is just horrible. We as a country have come a long way since then. Praise God. But let us not just be diverse in how we look as a community. Let us do what Jesus has commanded us to do, to love one another. And Life Anglican Church, Quakers Hill, wouldn't it be an absolute delight and wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved others across social background, cultural background, age background. So when they visited here, people got a taste of what it will be like in heaven, where the great multitude of people of every tribe, nation, and tongue are praising God together. Let us do as Jesus has commanded, to love one another, to represent that great multitude in heaven today. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have saved us from a diverse background. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would help us to grow to be like that multitude in heaven, that you would be shaping us as your people today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.